You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Hey, it's time to be a little catty. Yep, this show, we're going to do a little hiss and tell with a very cool cat by the name of Jackson Galaxy. And when it comes to understanding feline behavior, well, he's simply meowerless. Welcome to the show, Jackson.
Thank you so much, Arden.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be one of many puns, so just prepare yourself.
I know, I'm excited about punning, yes.
So we're going to learn a little bit more about this cat man, Doo, and how he can help you with some of your most frustrating and fascinating cat behaviors right after this commercial break. So sit around, we'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Spills, pet messes, and dirt are unavoidable, but the stains and odors they cause are not. Spot Shot Instant Carpet Stain and Odor Eliminator is non-toxic, environmentally friendly, and biodegradable formula. Safely and permanently eliminates the toughest carpet spills and stains, even pet messes. Approved by the Carpet and Rug Institute, Spot Shot neutralizes odors with powerful dual odor eliminators and utilizes an anti-resoiling agent to protect carpets from future stains. Spot Shot products can be found at Walmart, Petco, Lowe's, and your local grocery retailer. For more information, visit spotshot.com. Get $5 off the admission for the hit movie, Marley and Me. Just go to the O-Behave Show on PetLifeRadio.com and click on the Marley and Me banner for details. Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets with your Paranormal Pets ghostly host, Dusty Rainbolt, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. As I mentioned, our special guest today is a cool guy with a very cool name, Jackson Galaxy, and a very cool mission, helping people all over America better understand cats, and even more importantly, restoring harmony in those feline-occupied homes. You know, Jackson answers to many names, cat whisperer, cat trainer, but my personal favorite, cat shrink. That's because he offers many answers, many solutions to frustrating feline antics. And you can learn more about him by first jot this down, visit his website. It's www.jacksongalaxy.com, and he's just, you know, has a man of many talents, so he has two other websites to check out, www.littlebigcat.com and www.spiritessence.com. You know, Jackson has so much to say that we're actually having him on twice. Today, Jackson is going to share with us some of his household cat tales with us. And next show, he's teaming up with a very talented and knowledgeable holistic veterinarian by the name of Dr. Jean Hovey. So together, they have created a little line of pet products that naturally calm dogs and cats and shoo away their feelings of fright, anxiety, and other emotions. But we'll get back to that next show. But this show, hey, Jackson, you ready to get started, get a little catty?
You've got me all amped up. Yeah, no, I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right. I had you at meow. All right. Now, come on, Jackson Galaxy. I mean, Everybody asked me how I got the name Arden. And believe me, the truth is I was named after my sister's babysitter. I know, not a very famous name. But Jackson Galaxy, you ready to share with us the little background on this?
You want me to come clean on the name?
Yeah. Come on. This is like 60 minutes. This is the only part of the show that'll be like 60 minutes.
You know, the funny thing is that I was talking to a vet clinic in Chicago the other day, you know, because they stock spirit essences, and this very mild-mannered sounding receptionist said, "We have a bet going on here, and we think that you're a porn star."
Oh my God!
Because of my—that's what I had never heard before. But you know, basically, I've been a musician since I was a long time. You know, I think I was 11 the first time I played in a club, and so I was always had this sort of misguided sense of myself in terms of my rock star in my own mind. And At one point, I just decided, well, why not go for the most sort of Ziggy Stardust type of name I can possibly go for, and you know, it's people wouldn't forget it, and sounded better than my old name, and that was it, you know. And it basically came from the name of a CD that I had put out years ago, where the name of the album was Jackson Galaxy, and a friend of mine said, you know, that's an amazing name.
And it is.
The next day, I was down at the courthouse. It was just win.
You know, I keep thinking, you know, like, I love that show Speed Racer, you know, with his powerful Mach 5. Well,
yes.
I'm thinking, man, he could have teamed up with Jackson Galaxy or, you know.
You know, there's nothing like that inflated sense of, you know, naming yourself sort of a superhero, yeah.
But, well, maybe I got to change my name, too.
You know what? It's very simple. And the funniest part of it, and I'll be short about this, but the funniest part was, you know, you have to go in front of a judge to officially have the name changed.
Yeah.
And, this judge, she gets the papers, I go in front of her, and I was a little nervous, and she looks at me over her reading glasses and gives me a stare down and signs her name, and while she's signing, she goes, "Well, good luck with that." Now, it was the beginning of a journey, I guess.
Well, you know what? You've shown that judge a thing or two because you're very talented. And what I like about you is, as editor of Catnip Magazine, people think that all our readers are only women. And women, old ladies with a bunch of little kitties. Not that there's nothing wrong with that. Here's the deal, guys. There are more cats in American homes than dogs. And real men love cats.
Amen.
I think if you can be secure in your manhood and have a cat as a pal. I mean, of course, like in the example, my brother, you got to name him sometimes macho names. So my brother Kevin named his cat Lager because he likes to drink beer. But, you know, that's okay. So let's describe yourself, because this is a radio audience. This is a guy that can walk in a room and he's hard to miss. I think you said you've kind of got that Mr. Clean dome look, or Howie Mandel kind of a dome, and get some. Let's just describe yourself. I'll let you do it. You're better at it. You've seen yourself in a mirror. Let's now describe yourself with clothes on. Clothes on. This is a GP show.
Yeah, fine. I usually do surprise people to death when I do the house calls, because I think that if people expect a man to show up to the house to deal with their cats, they do expect sort of a very waifish, for lack of a better word, man to show up. Yeah, and I'm 6'2", I weigh about 250 pounds, I'm covered in tattoos, I'm bald, I've got a goatee, I'm, you know, earrings, and, I'm that. That's what I am. I am that. And, you know, the blessing to me is that while the people might go through a little bit of a phase of judging me when they first walk, when I first walk in the door, the cats never do, and that's all I really care about. And you know, I used to, when I first walked into people's homes, when I first started my practice, I made sure to wear long sleeves and take out the jewelry and, you know, try to make myself as neutral as possible so that we could just get down to business and not worry about who I was. But, you know, I felt that over time that sort of dampened my efforts a little bit on a very subconscious level. But
no, so but it's really important to be yourself. I mean,
exactly.
I don't know. I mean, if I... You make an, you know, your name already gets people to remember, and now they can see you and can remember you. And I don't know, maybe I'm getting to be an old broad, but I'm at the point now where, hey, you know, why pretend to be someone that you're not? Be who you are, and then people can embrace you. And if not, that's their deal, you know.
And it's so funny, Arden, that you say that, because you know, when we say, you know, it's us getting older. You know, in my 20s, you would assume that that would be the rebellious stage where I would show off to everybody, you know, all these bright colors, like I was a 20-year-old peacock or something. But you know, back then, I was very much about, this is me on, you know, behind closed doors. This has nothing to do with you. And now, yeah, it is about getting older and not caring anymore. And not only that, like I said, I want to be able to present myself in honesty, so that, because I really do believe that anything that I bring, the energy that I bring into your home, your cats pick up on and throw back at me, and I don't want to have a strike against me.
Well, hopefully you bathe, so that's a good thing, right? You do bathe. Okay,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, in sardine oil, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's why you're so good with cats.
That's why they love me, yeah.
I smell you, babe. I'm glad this is a radio show that, and you're in a different room right now, because I don't know, I think my cats would go crazy. But let's talk a little bit about that. What is it about cats? I mean, there's a lot of folks out there that are helping people understand dogs, but I'm very happy you have focused on our feline friend. Let's talk a little bit. What's your connection with the cat?
The funny thing is, I grew up with dogs. And, you know, once I moved out of my home, because, you know, my family was fairly allergic, and I moved out, you know, to go to college, and immediately started having cats in my life. And it wasn't really until, I mean, I spent a lot of years working in shelters, and it wasn't until then, because, unfortunately, I mean, I think that the shelter world back then was very dog-centric, in that we understood dog behaviors. There was dog trainers everywhere. We could work with behaviors they were presenting and try to get them to turn around and get them adopted. And long story short, cats were just being euthanized for behavior problems because we just didn't have behavioral outlets for them. And I just, you know, in my little corner of the world, just sort of took it on. And read as much as I could, worked with them one-on-one, you know, you just trial and error. It's and then, of course, there is that sort of little X factor that I just think that I understand them, and that's a blessing, and I really, and they understand me, and we, so there's something, there's that little X factor that, and so, you know, those three things combined, and like I said, I was lucky that the folks over at my shelter were lenient, I guess is the word, enough to let me work with these guys as much as I wanted to let me go into the homes of recent adopters and help these cats get adjusted, to go out proactively with cats that were going to be surrendered and solve the problem so that they didn't wind up in the shelter. I mean, I thought it was a groundbreaking thing that these guys were allowing me to do back then, and we kept the cat population down a little bit in the shelter. We kept cats out, you know, after they had been adopted. So it was great, and that's how it started.
You know, one common mistake people have, you know, people, there are a lot of folks out there that love pets, but an easy mistake is to regard a cat as a little dog. So we've got, you know, the man here. We got Jackson Galaxy on the show, and he is like a cat whisperer. He really does get cats. So what would be a few things you could enlighten our audience that would really debunk this notion that cats are just little dogs?
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's such a great point that you hit on right off the bat, which is, and, you know, when I teach my classes, that's the first thing that I hit on. that if you regard them as dogs, you're already sunk. And mm-hmm. and when we say regard them as dogs, I think that one of the main things that we're looking at is that cats, that we think that cats are on this planet to please us, the way dogs are, you know, historically, yeah. you know, and in an evolutionary sense, that's really what dogs have grown up at our hip in an evolutionary sense, you know, and we have given them jobs to do, and we have praised them for those jobs, and we have rewarded them, and we have really altered their natural state in that way. But cats, historically and in an evolutionary sense, have been along for the ride this whole mm-hmm. time. We, at first, tolerated them. You know, when we became the hunter-gatherers, we said, well, hey, you guys are protecting the grains. You know, you get, yeah. we don't have mice. Great. And that went on for quite a long. I mean, these guys went on a really bumpy ride for years and years where they were, we invited them in, and then we kicked them out, and then back in and out. And it really...
It sounds like a soap opera, doesn't it?
It was, you know.
Yeah, we've had a soap opera relationship with cats, I think, through the years. Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you look back at the witch trials and mm-hmm. how we just thought, oh my God, the black cats, and we just about killed them off, you know, and the black variety is what I mean. But you know, and during the Dark Ages, and I mean, up and down, and it really wasn't until the Victorian era where we said, you know what? Come on in my house.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're cute. Come on in. And you kill the mice. So when we look back maybe a little over 100 years ago is when our relationship really changed with them. So again, in an evolutionary sense, a blink of an eye. And we're sitting here saying, why don't you do what I want you to do? Well, why would they? You
know, well, it reminds me of a quote that says, you know, cats are smarter than dogs. You won't ever convince 8 cats to pull a sled through the snow.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. So I think there's something charming about cats. I think they've checked out what dogs have to do, and they're like, nah, no thanks. But
yeah,
still.
And I think one of the beautiful things is that they force us to acknowledge the spirit of compromise in ourselves. We can't. There is no such thing as the concept of eminent domain over cats, because if we try to assert ourselves over them, we get paid back in spades, and that it's a humbling experience to live with cats.
I don't know about payback in spades, but I can think of other things they can pay us back with that aren't
paid back in poop. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's the poop dividend. Yeah, yeah. Thinking outside the box. Yeah. Oh yeah. You think you can boss me? No, just seriously.
Right, exactly.
Well, what we'd like to do, Jackson, is I want us to have you share with us a few of your house call tales, and so people can get an understanding, some specific ways that you can go in and help some cats. So put on your thinking cap, because we're going to mm-hmm. take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Time for a pause. 4 furry ones actually sit and stay. All Behave will be right back.
Hi, I'm Arden Moore, and I'm happy to tell you about a cool new product. It's called Fresh In. Do you love your dog but tired of that doggy odor? Try Fresh In. Fresh In acts like a magnet to neutralize odors from any pet source. Fresh In is 100% organic, environmentally safe, and best of all, it is kid and pet friendly. Its crystals really are effective against pet odors on surfaces such as carpets, pet bedding, furniture, the cat litter box, inside the trash can, as well as artificial and natural grass and gardens. Veterinarians, trainers, and pet experts all love Fresh In, and you will too. To learn more, just call 888-41-FRESH or visit the website fresh-in.net and then kiss your pet odors goodbye.
want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Betty White, and I'm inviting you to tune in to the O'Behave Show with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
O'Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's Pet Edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O'Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our delightful guest today is Jackson Galaxy, the cat whisperer, the cat trainer, the cat shrink. You can check him out at jacksongalaxy.com or littlebigcat.com or spiritessence.com. He is not schizophrenic. He's just a multi-talented guy. And he's this guy that helps us with our cats. So he makes house calls. He's worked with shelters. He's improved adoption rates. He's helped cats, you know, make that nice transition to land a permanent loving home. And all my life, I've had a cat in my life. So I'm very, very happy that you are around to help people out. But let's talk a little bit about this. Here you are. How do people get a hold of you and share some stories?
Well, I am mostly a house call behavior consultant. So that means, yeah, I come to your house and meet your cats, see how they interact with you, your family, their territory, and come up with a plan of action on how to solve the problems that you might have. A lot of people just have me come over just to learn more about the cats, even though the cats are doing just fine, which I think is a fantastic thing. People can get in touch with me either by email, which is jackson@jacksongalaxy.com, or give me a call at the office, which is 310-376-6616, and I will come on over to your house. Now, I do live in Southern California. That's kind of where I'm somewhat restricted to in terms of my home visits. I am also, you know, a little reticent these days to do too many phone consults, to be honest with you. If it's a serious problem, especially with aggression, I won't touch it unless I can come to your house and get attacked by your cat. Then I'll feel good about it. Exactly. Then I'll feel all right.
Hey, I thought, you know, when you started this business, you had a whole head of hair. That's why you're bald.
Exactly, yeah. I've been landed on one too many times, yeah. I just feel like there's something, you know, I used to take video and pictures that people would send and then work with them. And I'll sometimes still do that, but for the most part, I'm just not going to do it for the sake of doing it, you know. But I've also had folks fly me all over the country to work with their cats. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's been fun.
Well, give me an example. Let's give me a place where you've had to rendezvous.
Well, one of the first places I ever had to fly to was Chicago, suburb outside of Chicago. Wonderful guy and his wife were having quite the problem integrating two cats, and one who had been in there for quite a while and one who was a neighborhood stray. And they lived in a monstrous house. I mean, it was huge. And the fact that two cats couldn't share a territory that big just was beyond me. And I think one of the funny things about this, and funny, I mean, you know, funny weird, not funny haha, but was how kind of full of myself I was at that point, and how, oh,
I am the king conqueror.
Yes, I will come into your house and fly me out there, and I will fix everything. And these guys taught me a lesson within 5 seconds of being in that house. And I spent the entire weekend with them. And long story short, it couldn't be done. Not by me. I could not get these two cats
what were they doing
work together. One was really just he would see the other one and just attack. and it was just, you know, we were working with separation techniques, reintroduction techniques, that where they would be, you know, eating on either side of baby gates, and they could see and smell and eat together, which was going perfectly. I worked on training techniques so that they could literally walk up to the same bowl and eat. But as soon as the food was gone, attack. And really, attacking throughout the house, really inflicting some serious damage a few times. And the little one was, you know, leaving trails of pee and poop. And I mean, it was really pretty...
Well, they were scared poopless, I bet, you know.
Totally,
I mean,
scared poopless. And, yeah. And, you know, you can only do that so many times until you really, again, there's that sense of, who am I doing this for? You know, am I doing this for me and for my ego? Am I doing it for them? And it was my first ever sort of foray into the concept of communication with cats. Now, I have to qualify that and say, you know, I'm not a communicator. That's not what I do. What I do, though, is I can't hear what they want to say to you. I can't translate that to English, or I don't know how to explain that. It's just, we have an understanding. And I sat in the bathroom with the really dominant, overly dominant cat for about an hour. Then the long and short of it was, you are making a fool out of me. You know, running me ragged. You're doing these things that you're killing me here. You know, just show me something. And again, I can't do it sort of an English translation, but the body language was basically, no, you know, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. And I can't force that, you know. And we got as far as we were going to get. We could eat out of the same bowl. We could play in the same room, but when playtime was, when activities were not there to distract this cat, he just got aggressive. And so it was a huge lesson in so many senses. But
so what happened? Did they end up placing the other cat somewhere else, or
they actually wound up just site swapping on a permanent basis? So look, they had a huge house. You could put up a few baby gates. Nobody really felt like climbing over the gates. Mm-hmm. So you could put up a baby gate, and literally, without causing a big to-do in the house, nobody ever really felt deprived or, you know, it works. It works. It's not perfect, but it works.
You're not talking Oprah, right? Because Oprah lives in Chicago. She has probably a monster.
No, I know, and that would have been, no, when I say monstrous, for me, it was a monstrous house. It wasn't Oprah-sized, but.
Okay. Yeah. You didn't super Oprah-size.
No,
and we're not talking about her weight, everybody. We're talking about her ability to buy big homes.
Yes, and I mean, like I said, there was so much space in this house that was my first, that V8 slap yourself on the head thing was, I can't believe that two cats can't share a territory this large. But again, you know, I think one of the most important things in what I do is to, at all times, be incredibly humble and remember that you're there to be taught as well as to teach. And these guys, just like any other home I've been in, taught me incredibly valuable lessons, so...
Well, that's one thing I dig about cats is they're very candid. They don't, like, you know, sugarcoat a lot of things.
No.
They're sort of like my sister. She's an auditor. I know when she's mad. I know when she's happy. And she never bluffs. She never, you know, oh, it's okay. And it's sort of refreshing. Maybe that's another thing that distinguishes cats from dogs is that they just tell it like it is, right?
They do. They tell it like it is. And in a large way, it's, again, what drew me to them also was that I love that word of, you know, that sense of being candid. Of, again, I have no reason to kiss up to you. I'm a cat, you know. I have needs, and these needs come above you. And I think, again, that's one of the places that we as humans, is sharing homes with cats, get our feelings hurt all the time, you know, where we say, my dog will sleep on my feet and do it, and you are so busy staking out the shelves and the couch and that what about me? You know,
yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of people that I've taught, and again, I think the training aspect of it comes with the human, and to train people to say, this is how a cat shows affection. This is how your cat shows affection.
Let's give an example. Yeah, let's give an example of a good success story where you were able to put the light bulb on in the mind of a person, and you could just imagine the cat going, thank you, you finally communicated it. So give us a success story.
I think that one of the one that really sticks out in my head was this one guy who called me to tell me, I think this was when I was still with the shelter, and he had called the shelter to say, I am about to kick this cat into the street. And we said, well, you know, why don't you bring him into the shelter? No, I'm not bringing him to the shelter. I'm mad at him, and he's mad at me.
Ooh, meow!
Exactly. And they send me over to his house, and he sits there, and you should have seen the body language. He was cross-legged, cross-armed, grinding his jaw the whole nine yards. And when we started talking about it, he said it was all about spite. The cat was doing what he was doing to spite the guy. And I said, okay, well, show me an example. And he said, well, look right now. And the cat was sitting, this guy was sitting on a chaise type of furniture, and he, you know, his legs were up on the chaise, and the cat was sitting at the very end of the chaise with his butt to the guy. And he said, this is how close he gets to me. He never sits on my lap, he never comes and sleeps with me, and when he sits with me, he has to show me his butt, like he's saying to me, see, this is what I think of you. And, you know, after I sort of manually took my hand and closed my mouth, I said, we have to talk about what cat love is, you know,
right.
And how different cats, and, you know, we start talking about the cat that he grew up with, who snuggled with him, who slept under the covers, who purred, you know, and not all cats purr, and this one obviously didn't. And I showed him how affection in many cats means I own you. I own you because I'm sitting in proximity to you. I own this, and because I own this, it makes me happy. As opposed to, again, affection for affection's sake, which again is a very doggy thing, right? So once I was able to, revocabularize him. I think I just made that up.
Okay, Doctor. Okay, President Bush. You did a new name, new word. Okay.
I am the decider. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I've revocabularized him, and you know, I think that that understanding we left with kept that cat in the home. That it was just about different cat. You know, it's different flavors of chocolate in the box. This is how, you know, they show affection. This is how they show that they're comfortable, but it doesn't necessarily include purring, snuggling, or anything that you might have seen before, you know, sitting.
Well, I mean, if we can talk about butts, because, you know, this show has been going downhill ever since I started, but no, seriously, I'm thinking if that cat's butt is closer to the man's feet and the cat's face is looking outside, wouldn't that also mean a little trust? Because if that cat really didn't like that guy, wouldn't she be, or he be keeping tabs and be looking at the guy?
Exactly. It shows that implicit trust. And in mm-hmm. fact, you know, when we talk about one of the butt behaviors, where, let's say, you open the door here.
I know.
But, you know, one of the ones where cats will, you know, let's say that you're laying down and the cat will come up and put their butt right in your face.
Right.
And again, I've had many people say, what an insult. And you have to revocabularize and you have to say, no, this is a high compliment. This, you know, this is what, as kittens, they parade by mom after mealtime just to get a little bath in the butt. And this is that sort of leftover behavior that you're seeing right now. And it's funny because we will see, and this is such a human thing, we'll see that when they make biscuits, you know, the kneading on you.
Right.
And that leftover weaning behavior. And we say, well, now, isn't that cute? And they're nibbling on my ear. Isn't that cute? But they parade their butt by me, and that's disgusting and an insult. And it's all part of the same package, you know, so it's, again, it's just reframing. It's just, you know, the more you know about what the world looks like from the cat's eye, the more enriched that relationship will be. Yeah.
You know, as long as you don't feed them any beans in their diet, I think it's a good to go with the butt
as
face,
long
right?
As, yeah, exactly. as long as you don't follow through with the bath, everything is good. Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of when you get this really great opportunity to meet somebody from a different country. And
right.
Recently I had to give a talk to a bunch of visiting Chinese veterinarians at a local college.
Wow.
And I really did my homework, because what I didn't want to do was something that would unintentionally insult that delegation. So I tried best to learn a few phrases in Chinese and things like that. Now, I'm thinking for you, with people who really love cats, you're sort of a cat translator too, aren't you? An interpreter?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's absolutely right. And when we talk about that, and I'm so glad you framed it that way, because that is what separates me and what I do from being a communicator. I'm mm-hmm. not there to say, you know, oh, Joey has a tummy ache or whatever. I'm there to say, this body language means this. And this body language in your house and in your presence, because it's, you know, I still don't want to diminish the importance of individuality, of every cat being different to a certain degree. But, yeah, it's about saying, look, check out your phrase book. You know, check out the phrase book here. This in cat means this to you. And
give me an example. We talked about the butt. I mean, a lot of people like to see, you know, I've taught people about the soft winking to a cat, or not just running up to them. But so when you're doing a greeting or you're doing a little love dialogue with your cat, can you give us some specifics?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's one of the important ones is when, we have a phone that's going off here and it's playing music.
It's somebody having a cat emergency.
Yeah, exactly. Please. And it, of course, it comes out with a really happy tune. But I think that you know, one of the ones that we look at is when cats scratch up either your bed, you know, the box spring area, the corners, or your couch. And you look at that and you say, I see destruction. I see nothing but destruction. And then my job is to say, look at your house, look at the layout, and look at the fact that the major places where your scent is strong is the couch and your bed. That's where you spend the most time, in front of the TV. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. in front of the TV and in your bed. You add up those two places, and that's where your scent is sunk in. And what's the cat doing? The cat is complimenting you. Complimenting you in a status way, complimenting you in a community way. They're saying, we belong together. They're taking the scent glands between their toes, and they're marking up that corner. They're using visual markers. Now, look, I'm not saying that it's pretty, and I'm not saying that it's acceptable. I could care less, but that's because I live with an entire brood of cats, and mm-hmm. we have an understanding. But I'm not saying that should be acceptable to everybody, but reframe it again. Look at your phrase book. In the world of cats, them claiming you is high praise.
That's a very good point. And there are things you can do with products out there that could save your sofa and allow the cat to be able to put their little feline Zorro marks, right?
And I think that, again, you know, one of the most important things is you can't just say no to a cat. Mm-hmm. When you say no, there's got to be a yes behind it somewhere. You know, you can say, I do not want you doing this. But you say, right next to it is a scratching post. Right next to it is a feel of something that you like and something that you can put a visual marker on and something that's sturdy, just as sturdy as the bed or the couch, to give you all of the goodies that you wanted and to let you claim me at the same time. And, visual and scent markers are key to a cat's territorial security. So, these things have to be done sometimes, but we just want them to do it in... This is the spirit of compromise that I was talking about, that they have to scratch. They have to scratch. They have to put scent down. It is integral to a cat's world. And your job then is to find something that's, I guess, aesthetically an okay place for you to allow that to happen. And what kind of, you know, but again, it's got to be a type of surface that they will scratch on. And also it's got to be sturdy and, you know, it's got to be placed well, you know, so.
Right, where they hang out with you.
Right.
Well, we're speaking with Jackson Galaxy. He is a cat whisperer, a cat shrink. He's just a cool cat all around. You can learn more about him by going to jacksongalaxy.com or check out some of the articles on littlebigcat.com. And we're definitely having him back for the next show because he's teaming up with one of his business partners, a holistic veterinarian by the name of Gene Hovey. And they really get to address a lot of dog and cat emotions in a very natural, safe manner through a product, a line of products called Spirit Essences. So, hey, Jackson, I'm really glad. I know I'm going to have you back on again later on to talk more about cat behavior because, pardon the pun, we've only scratched the surface.
Ah-ha.
I knew that was
I think my cats just put their paws over their eyes. They're like Callie and Murphy. Like,
yeah.
Jackson, save us. We have to live with this crazy broad. She's with us.
Exactly.
But no, seriously, you do a lot of good for a lot of two-leggers and four-leggers, and I'm really happy and honored that you're a guest. At this time, too, I'd also like to thank my cool producer, Mark Winter. He makes the show happen and rock every week, and he has to deal with my craziness. You can listen to this show and the rest of the shows on the Pet Life Radio Network for free. You can download them on iTunes and other ways. So go check out PetLifeRadio.com. Scroll down because if you missed the show, you can always tune in at any time. Think of it as TiVo for your ears. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.